right, so let's just pray and then we're going to go into the word this morning. Father, we just thank you that you are here. I thank you for your love and your presence that is in the room. And Father, I pray this morning that you will open our eyes, that you will open our hearts, that we will see what you are doing in the house, in our lives, in this world. And Lord, we declare that we hunger and thirst after you. We want more of you, Jesus, more of your presence, more of your glory. Lord, we do not want religion. We do not necessarily want form even, Father. We want you. We want to walk with you. We want to talk with you. We want to flow and move where you want to go. We don't want to miss anything that you have in store for us. I thank you for family. I thank you for spiritual family. I thank you for this house that, Lord God, we can be part of what you are doing in this side of the world. And that you've called us to make a difference here in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just thank you. Holy Spirit, have your way in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, for those that are visiting us this morning, I didn't intend for this to be a series, but I guess you can say it's a series now. I didn't even plan this, but if I look at the last 2 weeks' sermons, and this one, possibly even the ones leading up to this, but especially the last two, what God has allowed us to look at is basically setting us up to step into so much more of what He wants to do in this side of the world. So two weeks ago, we looked at the body of Christ. That the title of that sermon was, You Are Us. In other words, where it's not just about me, but you have gifts and talents and you walk before God in a certain way and I walk before God in a certain way and then we before God become the body of Christ. So we minister, we move, we live together and God has called each one of us in a unique, special way to impact this world and empowered us as the church to shift everything this side of heaven. That is the anointing that is upon us as the church, is not just to accept the status quo, so to speak, but to allow God's kingdom to come to earth through us. Amen? Amen. All right, is that your desire? Is that what you understand? Is that what you're living for? It's not just the paycheck or to live and then die in a good way when, you know, having felt that you, but it's actually to bring the kingdom of God to earth. Last week, I preached a sermon with the title, Making God Happy. And yes, the thing is, when we live the way God intended to for us to live, it brings joy to Him. If we live the way that God has set out for us, the way Jesus has taught us, if we love one another the same way He loves us, then this world will know that we are His disciples. Okay? So he's not just said to us, listen, you need to love one another. He actually said, the way I loved you, I showed you how to love one another. And like we saw last week, when you unpack that, you know, it becomes quite clear that love is absolutely sacrificial. But if I live in that way, if I walk in that way, if I love in that way, I bring such joy and happiness to God. Because that's how He loves us. He loves us way more. You know, it's the one thing that I think all of us face is that, you know, isn't it true that the enemy so often just comes and all he wants to do is make you feel far from God? You know, that you are not loved by Him. You're not even on His radar, man. He's looking after the universe. He's got all these important people He's worried about and you nothing. You know, like I said, you pray and you say, like, you know, I can't get past the ceiling. Well, I've got news for you. He's this side of the ceiling. He's not on the other side. Because we are the temples of the Holy Spirit. So He dwells within us. His presence is within us. He is God with us. So it's not just far. He's near. He's here. Oh, come on. And when we looked at this last week, we had to conclude that, man, we have to obey because He said, I give you this commandment to love one another. It still gets me. This is a command. I'm expecting for you to love one another in the same way So I have to consider to obey or to say, Lord, not doing that. Or to be the son or the daughter that goes, yes, yes, Father, and then never does what he says. But we are called to obey. And then for us to consider on actually, how am I going to love these people that God has placed around me? How am I going to love all of you with the only purpose so that the world may know? So the way that I love you, the result that I'm desiring is so that the world may know that we are his disciples. Oh, come on. You know, I've seen in marriage, and we see it so often that you know, that thing about marriage, there used to be a saying, I don't even know if it's still a saying, but marriage is 50-50 give and take. But that's actually a lie, because marriage is 100% give. And here's the incredible thing is, when each partner gives 100% love and compassion and et cetera, to their partner, both will be fulfilled. Amen. You will lack nothing if your partner is loving you 100%, but they will lack nothing when you love them 100%, and not necessarily in the way I think they should be loved. You can read the 5 love languages and maybe just understand, man, and it's a mystery sometimes. Yeah. I say, man, I just get something right, and then she changes the rules sometimes. And she tries to love me, and I'm like I'm on another planet, man. I think I'm in the nothing box or something, and I don't see it. But yes, the truth is if we, the heart is to love one another 100%, we all are, well, both of us are fulfilled. And here's the thing. In this church, in the body of Christ, I cannot wait for you to love me the way that I think I should be loved. He said, you love one another. Okay, and I don't want to preach that sermon now over, but it's so important for us to look away from ourselves and see the people that God is placing around us and then love these people. They are not here by chance and you not either. This is the people that God has ordained to be around you. Because through these relationships, we get shaped and molded. Sure, it's quiet in this place here this morning. Nah. So, and as a result from that, and the one thing we want to trust God for this week, or this 6 months, is, can you put up that next slide? Is we want to trust God to lose no one. So this, you know, and we can still unpack this, but our heart is, we want to love. So visitors, if you are here this morning and you are not being loved, then come talk to me. No, I'm joking. I'll sort them all out, you know. I'll just get them. But our heart is to love everybody that walks in here the way that Christ loved us. To love one another in this way that we will lose no one. That no one will feel that, like, you know, it's just random or something. I don't know. I must say, and I want to commend this congregation, is the one thing you do well is you make people feel welcome. So let's lock the door so that no one can escape. You know? Now that's the very reason why we have good coffee, is because we actually want to, we understand that our culture is a coffee drinking culture. We have some rebels drinking tea, but you know, we're still trusting God for breakthrough there. But we have this culture where if, you know, we just want to care. And so, no, we can't bri every weekend, but we certainly want to give you good coffee and just get to know you. And have some good conversations. Amen. So this week, I want to take things a bit further. I want to focus. And listen, we literally actually just going to look at 1 Corinthians 12. But I wanted to trust God this morning that things will shift in our hearts. That God will work deep in our hearts. And the outflow of that will be a powerful ministry by every person in this church. So even as you sit there this morning, I want you to trust God to say, you may, maybe just say, Lord, just work at me this morning so that I can be different. So how does the body of Christ prosper in this place? How do we move things forward? If we understand that we are together, the people of God, if we understand that we have to love, how do we practically move things forward from here? And Paul uses this analogy of the body. And in 1 Corinthians 12, he takes this together so beautifully. And I need us to consider, and you're welcome to take out your Bibles. I'm going to read from the NIV version. And you know, it's always a good thing to take out a Bible, because you need to check that the pastor's actually preaching the Bible. All right. Thank you for the few. That is all right. So Paul sets this up. He starts 1 Corinthians 12 like this, and he goes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts." So what is he going to talk about? He's going to speak about spiritual gifts. This is a spiritual family. We are the church of God Almighty, and this is very important for us to hear. You know, so often when you speak to people and you walk with them and you, "Yeah, but Kobus, I'm not like that." Then I'm like, okay, that's all good and well, but what is God putting on you? What is His gift, His anointing, His power? And you know, sometimes I think we look at ourselves and we limit God because I'm not like that. I know none of you. That's okay, I get that. But I think sometimes we limit God by saying, "That's not who I am." But can I tell you, when the anointing and the power of God rests upon an individual, they become incredible people. Suddenly you move in a power and authority that you thought you never had. So Paul is saying, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I would not have you ignorant. I know that being led away, you nations were led to dumb idols. So we used to serve dumb idols, all right? I like that word that he says, dumb idols. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God says that Jesus is a curse. You need to get that, all right? And that no one can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit. So if you want to check anything, if you want to check someone, where they're at, can they declare that Jesus Christ is Lord? That means ruler, that means God, that means authority, and then I'm submitting to that Lord by the Spirit of the Lord. Okay, but there are different gifts. Now look at this. There are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are different ministries, but the same Lord. And there are different workings, but the same God working all things in all. But to each one is given the showing forth of the Spirit to our profit. So why is the gifts and anointing of the Spirit of God resting upon each one of our lives? Is to show forth the glory of God for our benefit. And here's the thing, saints. Can we stop coming to church, maybe just to receive, but can we start coming to church with your gift? With the anointing that is on your life. It's a simple thing to do. Instead of sleeping late, maybe you should get up earlier, spend time with God and say, "What do you want to do, Lord, this morning?" And I'm not saying you're going to preach or you're going to even share a testimony or something. Maybe God just wants to use your gift to touch someone that's here this morning. Maybe you need to leave here and touch someone right outside these doors this morning. What is the gift that's on your life? What has God placed upon you to change the world? That gift, if we want to love one another, I need to allow the gift that's on my life to minister to you. And you will be blessed. But when I hoard it, or I ignore it, or I shove it in a corner or something, then we all are at lack. Listen, Christianity is not a lone sport, if it ever was a sport. This is a team thing. You put one guy in the All Blacks that does not pass the ball to them, do you think they'll ever win? When he gets the ball, he's like, "It's my ball. It's my ball. I'm going to keep the ball. I'm not going to..." man, the Springboks will be happy. We will win every time. Oh, maybe no one can play because he's got the ball the whole time, just running around. You know, somebody catch the crazy person with the ball. No? Stop hogging the ball, saints. Pass the ball to your friends, those that God is placing around you. Love the people that's around you. We all want to win. And like I said, Paul sets 1 Corinthians 12 up here beautifully. And he's talking about a few things. And I'm just going to, it's this portion. You can just follow me there. But just for us to consider. So he's speaking about the impact of the spiritual gifts on the church. And he needs us to understand these things. He don't want us to be ignorant. And if you are sitting here this morning and you are ignorant about the spiritual gifts of God, then I want to encourage you, go to Bible school for one. Join a small group for another. Position yourself in such a way that you can understand the spiritual gifts of God more so that you can flow in them. He's saying that we used to follow idols and we shouldn't do that anymore. And we also don't relate anymore to one another from that place. I'm no longer a sinner. I have been saved by grace. I'm a new creation. I'm loving you from that place, not from what I used to be. Okay? I used to have some stuff. And here's the thing. I think if we can stop focusing so much on our stuff and start bearing the fruit, maybe things will change. Because here's what the devil sometimes does in our lives. He gets us to so obsessed with the stuff that I'm struggling with that I'm actually not being a blessing. Nah? Okay? And then he says, no one speaks by the Spirit of God, says that Jesus is a curse, but also no one can say that he is Lord if he does not have the Spirit of God. I mean, if you want to really check where someone is out, that's a good question to ask. All right, so by the Spirit of the Lord, declare that Jesus is Lord as you go. And then he says there's different gifts, ministries, workings, all by the same Spirit, by the same Lord. And now we need to say, okay, but Lord, what is that? How does that pour out into my life? What is the gifts, the ministries, and the workings that I'm supposed to let loose, if I can call it that way, in this congregation, in this world? And then he says that to each one has been given the showing forth of the Spirit of God for the benefit of all. And listen, I need us to get that. When you flow, when you are tight with God, when you are intimate with Him, that becomes a blessing in this house. No Gentile, no unbeliever has the Spirit of God. It's for us. So what he's writing to you about here is for us, the church. It's for us to understand, to know, to think about, to grow in. Okay, then let's continue in verse 8. It says, Through the Spirit is given to one a word of wisdom. Now look at this. Okay, just think about this. If this is what happens on a Sunday, if this is what happens in your small group, if this is what happens when you are just there at your job, just think now, okay? Through the Spirit is given to one a word of wisdom and to another a word of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gift of healings by the same Spirit, and to another the working of powers, to another prophecy, and to another discerning of spirits, and to another to other kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. But the one and the same Spirit work all these things, distributing separately to each one as He desires. I love that. Now just think of that. If that starts happening here, if this is the normal status quo, what would church look like? That's why I say we need to come. And why is he saying this? Because in verse chapter 12, verse 12, he says the following: "For as the body is one, and has many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ." So do you see that the purpose of that previous thing is to be part of the body? One body. Our desire here, as my title said, is moving together as one. We want to move together as one. If we realize that we are one body, things will change. And what he's saying here, verse 12, is we need to understand that we are part of, just as Christ were one human, one body, so we are that. There's no division at all in what he's describing here. And it's happening in one body. Verse 13. "For also by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks." So there's no discrimination. "Whether bond or free, even all were made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many." Okay, so we are not just one member. We are many, okay? The body here that he's speaking about. Verse 15, "If the foot," then I love this. I love when he gets into this, because this helps me, okay? He says, "If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I'm not of the body anymore." I've had people in the past in church, you know, but I don't flow like he does. So I don't really have a place here. Or no, I'm not as spiritual as they are. So I don't have a place here. You know, I'm not as important as they are, whatever. And this is what Paul is taking on here. He says, "If the ear shall say, because I'm not the eye, I am not of the body. Is it therefore not part of the body?" So he asks the question. If you're saying, "Oh, but my gift is not so awesome, it's not this or that or whatever, can I then say that I'm not part of the body?" No. Still part of the body. This ear can do what he wants. He's still on this body, whether he likes it or not. Okay? Whether I like him or not. Yes, I have to, used to, as a kid, have bak oor. I mean, well, I could have get satellite reception from far. I was teased, like I was going out of fashion. So I hated my ears. Now they're kind of all right. I don't care if you don't like them. I try to replace them. I can't. They just kind of stay. So what can we say? Verse 17. "If all the body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If all hearing were, we would... Ah, come on, Meneer Meyer. Yes. If all were hearing, where would be the smelling?" You see, this is not normal English. Ah, yeah, man. Come on. Thank the Lord we don't speak like this anymore, because I would go like, huh? In any case, verse 18. "But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body as it pleases him." Oh, man. Come on. Just grab that. God sets you in the body as it pleases him. He positions you. He places you there because that's where he desires for you to be. He needs you to fulfill this specific function. Do you understand why I say if we don't fulfill, if you don't come with that gift, if you don't let that gift flow, the body suffers. So how do we take things further from here? Just be who you are. Allow God to position you in the way he wants to position you. And yes, the thing, there is a yielding. There's a laying down of my life in there where I submit to his will. And how he wants to place me. Not how I think it should look like. I was going to tell you one thing. I've had some opinions of what God should do in my life. Huh? Yeah. It led to some serious heartaches. But I had some ideas of what God should do with this life. And I've learned submitting to him is the most blessed thing. Even if it's tough. Sometimes it's not easy to go, God, I'll do this because you say so. But when I'm on the other side, and I see what is done in me, and I see what is done to in the people around me, and I'll go like, yes, Lord, you are God. So he sets each member in the body as it pleases him. So let him position you. Verse 19. And if they were all one member, where would be the body? I'm so glad Paul writes this because we are not the same. For goodness sake, two people give birth to two boys and they're not even the same. You know, it's the most scary thing when you become a parent is you, the first one, man, you're figuring it out. Yeah. Huh? Yeah, you like, what is this? And then kind of you get into this rhythm, you know, so rocking them this way works, you know, sleeping in this hour works, and you know, they like this kind of food. Man, so if they don't eat, just feed them that food. So they like at least they've got something in the body, you know, and then number two pitches. I want to talk to the Lord about this because really, man. Okay, I must say, with number two, you're a bit more relaxed. You're not as freaked out because, you know, you've kind of been through this thing now. But then everything starts again. He used to like this Pranita. He doesn't like that Pranita. I mean, he doesn't like these clothes. They don't like that clothes. I mean, it's just like it's the same parents. It's supposed to be the same. Come on. And it doesn't work. And that's why you should be at the parenting course. But if they were this, I would not have these beautiful boys that challenge me in different ways, that loves me in different ways, and that I can walk with in different ways. That's going to meet different women and have lots of babies. Amen. Let's just stretch hands to them. I say it's a tough thing being a PK. I understand. Your dad just lets rip and you can do nothing about it. Verse 21. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need for you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need for you. But much rather, the members of the body seeming to be weaker are necessary. And maybe that's you this morning. Maybe you feel you are the weaker member. Can I say to you, you are necessary. You are welcome. You have your place in the body of Christ. Not everybody can do what I do. And that's okay. But play your part in the body. Verse 23. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we put more abundant honor around them. And our unpresentable members have more abundant priority. For our presentable members have no need, but God tempered the body together, giving more abundant honor to the members having need, that there not be division in the body. Verse 25. You know, I read this, and when I got here, it's like the bulb just went off. It's the one thing that the devil likes to do with the way that we are differently made is to use that very thing to sow division. You see, I'm not going to love people the way you love them because I'm not you. I'm not going to walk with people the same way that you walk with them because I'm not you. But that is not a cause for division. That is the beauty of the body at work. You know, I realized long time ago, because as you know, when you become a pastor, there's often that you feel so inadequate. How can you do this? And I had to realize that, you know, God will send people to me that need me. And that's why he sends them to me. That's why he puts them in my life. It's because they need me and I need them. And I'm not going to love them the way you love them. So I'm sorry. But that's how it is. But that's why I need you. Because you need to love them in a different way than I'm going to love them so that the body can prosper. I need to minister them to them differently than what you're going to minister to them, because this gift of God in your life is different than mine. But we are the same body. That there be no division in the body. But that the members should have the same care for one another. Just see there. We should have the same care for one another. So the priority here is one another. We need to care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. One of the toughest things I think sometimes for me in church is when people go through stuff and they do it alone. And you hear of it, you know, kind of when they went through it and they kind of, you know, made it, and they like full of scars and blood pouring out and I don't know what else. And you go like, but why didn't you phone? We could have come to help, love on you, do anything. Because that's what the body is. Because I don't want you to suffer. That's who we are. If one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. If one member is glorified, all the members rejoice with it. Oh, that's so beautiful. That's so beautiful. Come on. We want to rejoice with one another. When God does something through your life, I mean, I want to celebrate it. That is the beauty of what God does here. And you are the body of Christ and members in part. And God set some in the church, firstly as apostles, secondly prophets, thirdly teachers, then the workers of power and gifts of healings, helps, governments, kinds of languages. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of power? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak languages? Do all interpret? No. And then he ends it this way. He says, but zealously strive after the better gifts. Which gifts are those? The ones that God has ordained to be on my life. To grow in the gifts of the Spirit. The ministries and the stuff that you were speaking about earlier. To flow in this. You know, if I read this now, then I go like, yeah, but I can now take offense because I don't see the pastor or an evangelist in this list. So what is going on here, Paul? But this is not what this is. He's making this point. That even if your gift is not listed here, that's what God wants to do through your life. Let it loose. Stop hogging the ball. Take that gift and let God just flow with it. Can I have the band coming up? And then we're going to worship the Lord and we're going to create some time for ministry and we're going to trust God to activate you, to set you in motion, to move upon your life. You know, if in today as we worship, I want you to worship from that place, can I say, of a desperate place for more of Jesus, for more of the love of God in my life, in your life. If this morning you feel like you have something against someone here, then please go sort it out, because that very thing the devil will use to bring division among us. And to hinder the body from flowing in what God has set out for us to do. But the main purpose this morning is I want to trust God that you will start moving in the anointing and the blessing that God has placed upon you. Corvus, but I don't know what it is. Man, come, let's pray with you. Let's trust God even for a prophetic word to speak into your life. To give you direction. So that you will know what your gift is. So what shall we say of these things that we have just heard over the last 3 weeks? Is that we are supposed to move as one. Amen. And I deliberately put the one there. Go back one. Back. Just where the previous slide. That one there. I didn't want to write it out because then it becomes three. We are one. What's the Greek definition of one? One. It's very profound. It's like, it is deep, man. It hits you right here to understand that one actually means one. Let that drop in your heart this morning. We are one. We are many, but we are. It's the same mystery with God. If you can minister, I'll appreciate it. If you know, where we talk about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, they are three, but they are one. And it's the same mystery here that though we are many, we are one. And how we need to trust God to move as one. And yes, the thing, saints, please get this, is that when we start stepping into that in a big way, this world will be radically transformed. For one, they're going to know whose disciples we are. Right? We are disciples of Jesus Christ. Yes, I'm a member of Shofar Brackenfell. Boo-hoo, yay, great. But chiefly, I'm following Jesus Christ. I've submitted to this leadership. I'm following this vision to fulfill God's purpose in this side of heaven for what God has called us to do. And I'm not afraid of that. I'm not apologetic about that. That is what God is calling us to do. But we are one before Christ. There are many gifts in this place this morning, but one Spirit. One Spirit. That has endowed you, that has anointed you for a specific purpose. Let's stand.